Oh, man, if you want to take your seats, Adrian's going to come up now and share something that struck him over the last year about God's love and also from 1 John.
Good evening. It's great to see so many people out tonight, ready to listen to the amazing worship that we've got going, ready to worship God. And, yeah, hopefully I'm going to just encourage that and mirror that in what I'm going to say. As most of you know, and if you don't know, I've been working with the London City Mission in London for the last year on a gap year project. I've been living in a big team, with a big team down in Bermondsey, and I've been working in Greenwich, reaching out to the community there and just telling the people there of God's love for them. And it's been a fantastic year. I've just got so much out of it, and it's just been amazing. And I suppose that this is why I've picked this subject this evening. To be honest, I wasn't given too much guidance on what I was supposed to be talking about. They just said something about 1 John. So I thought I'd talk about some of the lessons I really learnt from my time with the London City Mission, and hopefully just some words of encouragement for you. And I'm going to just talk about 3 points, things that really impacted my life this year. I'm going to talk about the truth of salvation. Then I'm going to talk about how I got a true understanding of salvation. And then I'm going to talk about the desperate need for salvation. So that's just so you know where I'm going. And then hopefully it's nothing you haven't already heard. It's just hopefully going to remind you, to give you joy in your hearts, and just to, yeah, just so that you know how much God loves you. So let me just pray before I begin. Lord, just calm us now and help me speak and just open people's hearts and have them ready to listen to what you're saying to them, Lord. Amen. Well, when I started down in London in September, I had a fair idea of what I wanted out of the year. I wanted friends, good friends. I was going to live in a team. It was pretty inevitable that we were going to become good friends. I wanted to get a closer walk with God, just to develop my relationship with God a lot more. And I wanted to mature, to develop personally, maybe just develop life skills like cooking and cleaning and that sort of thing. And I suppose also when I set out, I was planning just to feel good about myself, because I knew that I was doing something worthwhile with my gap year. And to be honest, that's not the best way to be looking at it. This year really humbled me a lot, because it made me just see how weak I am and how much God needs to help me to keep me going. And so I got most of these things, except for the last one, that I got humbled instead of sort of more proud, I suppose. But I got so much more out of it as well. And the first thing I'm going to talk to you about is how I discovered the truth of salvation. Salvation is obviously just being saved, the act of being saved. And I'm sure you're all thinking at this minute, well, surely that's pretty obvious. I mean, surely we've all heard that. And yes, we have. I mean, it's nothing, like I said, it's nothing you haven't heard already. But I'm going to be talking a lot this evening about heart knowledge. Something that sort of really impacted on me is that it's possible to have head knowledge, where you just understand it in your head, but it's never really worked its way down, and you've never really sort of gripped it and understood it. And so understanding it in your heart and what it means for that is something I really learned about this year. And so, well, I'm sure we've all felt doubts at some point in our life. I'm sure maybe some of our doubts that have really sort of maybe crippled our faith. Maybe they've been large doubts. Maybe they've been really small, sort of small things that they're just there undermining our faith a little bit. Well, before I left for London, I thought I knew that the gospel was true. I thought it in there. I knew that it was true. It was obvious. I was a believing Christian. I knew that it was true. But I realised during the year that I just didn't have it down here, fully grasped yet. I didn't grasp it down here yet, that the gospel is true. This book is actually true. And it's such a basic thing, but if you've never gripped that, just realise now that this book is true. And I'm going to tell you how I got that. I will read the Bible in a minute, but it's just a bit of background. one of the things I struggle with most as a Christian is to find a regular time every day to pray and to read the Bible. And it's even harder now that I've left and I'm on holiday and there's no structure. But when I was in London, I tried a few different things. And the one I found sort of most helpful was to do it on the bus, which sounds quite strange, but it was just time I was wasting just sitting there on the bus. So I had 20 minutes to work every day and 20 minutes back. So I had time to read the Bible and just time to think it over. But to be honest, it's not the most quiet place. It's not a particularly easy place to concentrate. So although I did get some good thoughts and good things out of that, it was also suggested to me to just separate one night a week and just go and spend time with God. And so it just sounded like a brilliant idea to me. What I did every Thursday after dinner, what I would do, I would just go upstairs to my room, I'd close the door, I'd just bow down, I'd pray, ask God to help me just understand him better, and I'd just spend some quality time with God. And so after a few weeks, I was getting a bit distracted. You know, when for me, sometimes I think after a big meal, you sort of get a bit distracted, and then it doesn't really sink in. So I found the best way to do it was to download sermons from the internet. And what I would do is I'd download a sermon and study through that and then spend some time in prayer afterwards. Well, while I was using a series by an American pastor called Tim Keller, he's a pastor from New York. He's got quite a large church. It's fantastic growth shown in New York there. And he's got some really good points to make that really challenged me. And this particular series was all about belief, why belief was necessary, why Christianity is the only religion that truly makes sense. And it was while I was listening to these sermons, and especially one night, when suddenly my heart grasped what it meant for the gospel to be true. And it's just such a fantastic thought. It's there in 1 John, verses 1 to 3. So if you want to read it, I'm going to read it out, so you don't have to follow if you don't want to, but it might be good if you open it. I'm going to be flicking around 1 John a little bit, but 1 John 1, verses 1 to 3, which says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." So this passage is obviously talking about Jesus when it says, we have heard, we have seen with our eyes, we have looked at, we have touched, and this we proclaim. So it's talking about how much the Bible is eyewitness accounts of Jesus. And eyewitness accounts, they're sort of the most guaranteed proof of truth there is. And that just sort of struck me how much the people who wrote the Bible, John here, he was willing to just give up everything because he knew that it was true. And there's so many different arguments, I know, and I can't obviously go into them all now, but when you actually dissect all the different arguments there is for why Christianity is true, and when you finally get down to it, every argument crumbles except for the true one, and that is that Jesus died on the cross for us and he rose again. And there's so many arguments that say, well, Jesus didn't actually come back to life, he was just asleep, or he was a ghost, that sort of thing. Well, all these arguments can be proven that's not the truth. The only argument that works is the one in the Bible, if this is the truth. And when I realised that in my heart, my heart just leapt for joy. It's so fantastic that this is the truth. This is what God wants us to see, that his love for us is the truth. Jesus dying on the cross for us, this really happened. He loved us so much that he wanted to die for us. And it's fantastic. And in the Bible, we see that the people who knew that this was the truth were willing to give everything. They were willing to sacrifice their lives, their whole everything, in order to spread that truth. And it's such a huge challenge for us. I mean, do we do that? Do we risk what we have? I mean, we live in a country where we don't have to risk our lives to spread the gospel. We're not going to get attacked in the street or anything like that. But are we willing to risk maybe a good relationship at work or a fantastic friendship with someone, in order to tell them the truth. It's so essential that people realize that what is in this book is the truth, and without it, we can do nothing. So, yeah, that just really struck me. And through what I learned that night and through what I gained in my heart, I just got so much more confidence. I got more confidence in my prayers that because Jesus is the truth, he will answer my prayers. There's faithful prayers. And also confidence in my talks at the place where I was working, and also just telling people about Jesus. It's so much easier to tell people when you know it's the truth. It's just brilliant. So that was probably one of the first things that really impacted me in London. And, well, another thing that impacted me, it's not in any sort of chronological order, is that I found a heartfelt understanding of salvation, or a heartfelt understanding of the gospel. Again, I knew it all in my head, and it was sinking in, there's no doubt about that. But in my time in London, I got that heartfelt sense of just what God's love meant for me and what God's love means for all of us. And it's there in 1 John 4, verses 9 and 10. And if you were here this morning, we read this, so that must be a good sign. It must mean that God wants us to listen to this and wants us to take it in. And it says, "This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins." This fantastic summary of what Jesus has done for us, just there. And I'll expand on that in a minute, but part of my part of the scheme I was on in London involved a retreat for a week down on the south coast of England, and me and the team and a few other people went down, and it was just a time to look at our hearts, examine our hearts, see how we were doing with our relationship with God. And when the word retreat comes into your head, you think of something nice and quiet and peaceful, and that wasn't quite what we did because we're quite a noisy bunch, but it was a fantastic time. And a mature American couple came down that week, and they were there to teach us a course about sonship, that is, being a son or daughter of God. And to be honest, to the team, it sounded a bit boring. We weren't really looking forward to it. But little did we know how much it was to impact the whole team. It was just to impact our hearts, because it was just to take us back to the basics of the gospel. And that is exactly what our hearts needed to hear. We've been giving out so much to telling other people about the gospel that we'd almost forgotten it ourselves, what it meant for us. So it's so important for all of us to hear, every day even, that Jesus died for our sins and he loves us so much. And so during this course, I suppose the main point, or the basic idea, was just to take our ideas of faith, our beliefs, and to flip them upside down, to look at them from a different angle, and just to teach us how we should be living. And it sounds a bit stupid, because obviously we're doing Christian work. I mean, why should we have to do that? Surely we know, because we're living in a nice Christian environment, we're all good Christians. Well, personally, I found that it's very, very easy to become what I've called a law-based Christian, where what I did, what I found myself doing at work, was how I was getting my righteousness, which righteousness is how I was getting to heaven, even. Just like, in reality, it's all about grace. So Jesus died for our sins. That's the only way we can get into heaven. But it's very easy to start thinking, oh, well, you know, if I don't read my Bible every day, that's surely God's not going to like me very much for not doing that. Surely if I don't pray very well, then that's going to affect me lots. And all these little things, they just start impacting on your life, really. And it wasn't good. So that they were just putting us back on the straight and narrow. This couple teaching us the gospel. It sounds so stupid that we were there to tell other people about God's love, and yet here they were teaching us. So it was fantastic. And that was the overall lesson. And I'm going to sort of echo some of the lessons we learned. And the biggest one is that God loves us. And It's just such fantastic news. Like, it's so easy just to accept it in your head, but when it sinks in, when it gets to your heart's just overjoyed. When you realize just how huge God's love is. Imagine how God is so huge. He's larger than the universe, and yet he knows us personally. He loves us. It's just fantastic. And then grace. It's all about the grace of God. And the grace of God is the fact that God's love is a free gift. There's nothing we can do to repay it. It's all free. And there was I can't remember where I got this from. I think it was during the week. It's just a little phrase, and it says, there's nothing you can do to make God love you less. And there is nothing you can do to make God love you more. And that's God's gift for us. His love is just perfect. And when you realize just how huge God's love is, you realize just how huge a sinner you are. Sin is all the wrong things, the wrong attitudes that we have against God. When you realize how much he's loved you, you realize just how much you've done wrong things. You've just rebelled against him. And I've done just so much wrong in my life against God. I've just taken the wrong path so many times. And we all have, and that's the sad fact. But we have a Saviour, we have Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for us. And he paid the price. He's made it free for us to come to God because of his love. And so we are big sinners, but God is a bigger Saviour. And he is more powerful and more forgiving than we can imagine, which is just amazing news, isn't it? And again, it's explained all the time to us. I'm sure we've all heard that before. But if it's just in here, then it doesn't impact on your life in the way that it could do. If it sinks in and affects your heart, that's how we change as Christians. That's how we learn to live as we should, as God wants us to. So when I realized this, it was just so humbling. When it was just one particular session when the team was really powerfully hit by God, by the Holy Spirit, and it was just incredible how we were affected by it. We realized what God's love did for us. And, well, I suppose we all reacted in different ways, but for quite a few of us, and me included, all we could do was just break down in tears, and we just wept as a group, and we were just praying, and we were just thanking God for the fact that he loves us. God loves us. And yeah, it was just incredible. It's like your heart opens up and just bursts for joy. And yeah, it was such an incredible time. And it says in verse 10 at the end, he sent his son as an atoning sacrifice. As David said this morning, it's all about how Jesus himself took away the wrath of God. That is God's love for us. He took away God's wrath, because he was an atoning sacrifice. And it's just such fantastic news that we all got a lot out of that week, just because we realized again that God loved us. It sounds really stupid and so simple, but it's just the truth. We all need to hear just how much God loves us. And it's not about what we can do, it's all about what he has already done. And it's just, we need to praise God for that. And I suppose that was the main lesson from the course. But for the rest of the week, we spent the time applying that to different things which we might have set ideas about, and then just flipping them upside down, changing our ideas of them. And so I'm going to talk about very quickly just three of the other things that we were really challenged by that week. And the first one's our sin, or the wrong things we do against God, or wrong attitudes. The second thing's repentance, and then forgiveness. So what did we learn about sin that week? Well, it's obvious. Everyone should know what sin is. Sin is the wrong things we do against God. But is it just that? Is it just the wrong things? Or is it a whole attitude that our heart has? And we were given a really helpful illustration to sort of help us see what our wrong things were and where they are from. And that is a tree. If you imagine a tree, there's the top part. So say up here with the fruit and the leaves. And like the fruit is our actions and what we do outwardly, what people see of us. So if someone sees a good thing that we did, then it's obviously a good. But there's also our sin, and that's also at the top of the tree. So I'm going to take one example. Say anger. So we get really angry and we don't really know why. And so obviously we want to try and stop ourselves sinning. So If you try and attack the sin at the top of the tree, say, well, okay, I just won't be angry anymore. It doesn't really work because it's coming from deeper down. There's something coming up that is making you angry. So if you look at the trunk, there's your emotions. And our emotions is what causes our actions. So if we feel something good towards someone, what we want to help them. If we feel anger or something like that, we don't. It's what we feel. And then deep down, under the ground, there's the roots. And the roots is where we have to address our sin. And that is, the roots symbolise our heart. And another verse that David quoted this morning, in Jeremiah, I'll just read it, you don't have to turn. Jeremiah 17, verse 9, it says, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. So it's just so that week we just realised that to address our sin and the sinful attitudes we had against God, the wrong things that we did against God, we didn't have to address it on the outward. We had to look inside our hearts and we had to work out what was causing us to do the things we were doing and to address it there rather than at the top of the tree, so to speak. So to fight it, we need to change our heart, our whole attitude towards God. Then we learn about repentance. When you think of the word repent, you hear it often, don't you? Sort of people, you might sort of think of it, oh, repent and be baptized. Well, is it just to say sorry? Is that what repentance is all about? I think it's just a bit more than that. I think it could be defined as a turning away. When someone repents, they've changed, they've turned, and they've gone away from all the bad things they've done in the past. And they've been sorry. So it's not just saying sorry in your head, it's being sorry, here it is again, down in your heart. It's being sorry there as well. And repentance is all about being sorry, but also turning away. So striving for God through God's grace. God loves us so much, he wants us to succeed. But there will be times when we fail. And that's the sad thing, we are ungodly people, we are sinful people. And when we realise that, that's how we realise that Jesus is the only way we can live. If we were relying on ourselves, then we'd just be failures constantly. So failing is not always about constantly beating yourself up. There's definitely a place for guilt. There's definitely a place for knowing that you've done something wrong. But you have to move on. You have to realise that Jesus died because you are a sinner, because you've done wrong things. And so by moving away, you will find yourself changing through God's love for you. It's the only way that we can change anything about us. And that's fantastic. When I realised that, it's just sort of changed the way. Instead of you trying to change yourself, you're asking God to change you. And again, it's a basic thing. But when I actually realised that, it just changed my attitude towards my whole life. It's fantastic. And then forgiveness. Forgiveness is such a essential part of the Christian life. I mean, Jesus died to forgive our sins. Why did he die? Because it's the only way we can get to heaven. And so when we find it really hard to forgive someone else, it's not the attitude we need. Because you have to remember that you're so much worse and that Jesus died for you anyway. It's just fantastic news. So when you find it hard to forgive someone, just think about what Jesus has done for you, and then that helped me a lot, helped me to sort of see how easy it is sometimes to forgive people when you realise that Jesus forgave you, even though you don't deserve it. And forgiveness is such an essential quality. It's there in 1 John 4, and it's sort of in the middle of verse 20, if you turn to that, where it says, anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. Yeah. So, let me just get a drink. So by forgiving other people, by forgiving our friends, by forgiving people that we may not even like, we begin to love them, we begin to see what Jesus has done for you, and we can celebrate what Jesus has done for us in our own lives. And so that week, and just especially the point about how awesome God's love is for us, that really impacted me that year. And when I got back to London, I found myself finding it a lot more easier to love the people who I was reaching out to sort of almost like mirror God's love in my own life. It's just much easier when you realize that it's the only thing you can do in response to what God has done for you. And so I'm just going to move on to my third point about what I learnt about the desperate need for salvation. Because the sad fact of the matter is that people who don't know Jesus Christ as their Saviour are in real danger. And it's just something that doesn't hit us very often. That I found personally, again, like when I realised this, it just hits you that without Jesus, what's going to happen to these people? And last week we heard from David again that Jesus is going to come again. That's a fact. The Bible's true. Jesus is going to come again. And he's going to come again in judgment. And he's going to judge the world fairly. And Christians, we have nothing to fear. We can celebrate because God's returned. We know that he loves us. We know that we're going to spend the rest of eternity, the rest of forever, with God in heaven, with our Saviour. And it's just going to be amazing. And I don't think any of us can comprehend what it's going to be like, but it's just going to be fantastic. But the sad fact, again, is that people without Christ go to hell. And that should really scare us. That should scare us because we should not want anyone to feel the wrath of God in hell. We should not want that to happen to anyone. We should be striving. We should be wanting everyone to come to Jesus in love. And if we did ever want someone to go to hell, we just have to realize hell is going to be awful. It's just going to be unimaginable. We can't imagine just how sort of painful, how bad hell is going to be. And yet, what do we do about it? What about our friends and family? How do we react to that? Well, how should we reach out to people then? Because obviously we need to tell people about God's love for them. It's the only way that they can be saved. Well, the answer is through love. If you look at chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, just at the start, it says, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love." It's fantastic, isn't it? God is love. And it's just what we need to show to our friends and family. We need to show them love because God first loved us. That's just our calling. Recently I read a book called What's So Amazing About Grace by Philip Yancey, and I'm sure you've heard of it. If you haven't, it's a very good read. It's really challenging. It challenged me on quite a lot of my views, and it just urged me to show love to everybody. And I suppose it makes the point that lots of people, just ordinary people, never step into a church because of the bad attitude they see with it. It's not the truth most of the time, but they sort of see, well, if I go into a church, I'm just going to be made to feel worse. The people there, they're just going to look down on me. They're going to rub my nose in the bad things that I've done. And it's such a sad attitude that people have, because it's just not true. When you come here, and I see it every week, I see that everyone is welcome. And that it's just a loving community of people who just share together and pray together and worship together. And that's fantastic. And there's so many churches which are just like that. They show love to their communities. But if people have this attitude of sort of, oh, I don't want to go to church, I'll never fit in there, I'll never be loved there, then they're not going to make it inside the doors, and they're not going to see what it's really like. And so the only way to show people God's love for them by bringing them to a church is through us. We're Christ's ambassadors in this world. We are the ones who should be telling other people of his love. And we should just be reaching out to everyone at any possible occasion, because, like I said before, people without Christ go to hell. And it's just such a scary fact that we should just be striving to see people realise the love of God in their lives. And that was a huge challenge for me, because personally, I just have not done enough with my friends and with my family to echo what is teaching the Bible. I haven't done that. I haven't shown love to my friends. I haven't told them God's love for them. And especially my family. There's a lot of my dad's family who aren't Christians. And I've just let it be. I've just haven't tried anything. I haven't talked to them about Jesus or anything like that. So whether in the future I will be challenged or whether I'll get an opportunity to tell them about the gospel, that would be so good. But we should just be striving at every opportunity to teach people about God's love for them. It's the only way to be saved. And it's not our job to judge them. That's the whole point of the gospel. We shouldn't be judging others, because if we judged ourselves, we'd just be as bad as them. It's God's job to judge them. We must tell of his love. That's the only way that people can be saved, when they realise just how much God loves them. And I suppose one different way to do this, I was taught, was through something called weakness evangelism. So I'll give you an example is the best way to do it. Instead of maybe confidently saying how good a church is, say just how big a sinner you are. So I know you're going to work the next day after church and they say, "Oh, yeah, how was your weekend?" And you just go, "Oh, I went to church, yeah, it was really good." And that just sort of ends the conversation. But then if you go, "Oh, yeah, I went to church and I just found out what a huge sinner I was. And I don't deserve God's love, and yet he's there and he's died for me." And they might sort of sit up and think twice about what you just said. I don't know, but it's just a different way of looking at how you can tell someone about Jesus. The fact that you're as just as weak as they are, but you've got God's love, and that God is changing you. And that's just fantastic news. Because Jesus is the only thing that saved us. So we need to be thankful enough to tell other people about him. It says in Romans 5, verse 6. Romans 5, verse 6. "See, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly." If you're sitting here tonight and you've never truly understood the gospel, if you've never truly understood God's love for you, then I just hope and pray that you realise this. Jesus died so that you can have eternal life. And all you've got to do is accept that. You can ask, you can talk to God at any time, and you can just say to him, "God, I've done so much wrong in my life, and I just need you to forgive me." You just pray to him and just sincerely mean that you need forgiveness. And God will. That's fantastic. He loves us so much. He's just waiting for people to come to him and ask for forgiveness. And then there's the act of repentance, like I was talking about earlier. We have to change from our old ways, and we have to long to live God's ways. So we ask for forgiveness and we long to live for God's ways. Even though all of us experience times of failure, we all do. But like I said in this verse, Christ died for the ungodly. Christ didn't die for the godly. We're all ungodly people. We're all sinful people. And that is why God came to this earth to die for us. So, yeah, if you've never understood that point, you're sitting here tonight and it's swirling around your head, I urge you, before you leave tonight, just to think it through and just think, are you going to choose eternal life or death or punishment? That's the choice that is there for you to make. And if you're a Christian here tonight, is your heart jumping for joy because of God's love for us? It's hard sometimes, I know, because we feel down, we feel like God has left us, but God never leaves us. It's just fantastic that he loves us so much. And so maybe just keep reading through that passage that I read in John, which talks about God's atoning sacrifice, or turn to another passage in the Bible that you know and you love and that's affected you in the past, and just keep praying and meditating and just keep asking God to open your heart to him and just to keep striving for that true joy that only he can bring. And when you find that true joy, you just want to stand up and you just want to praise God, because it's so fantastic. And if God's been putting someone on your mind, someone at work, someone you know, just keep praying for them, keep asking for opportunities to talk to them. And when these opportunities come along, don't forget to use them. It's very easy to sort of go, "Oh, I missed that one. I'll wait for the next one." Just don't do that. Remember how true the gospel is. Remember that God loves you. And just go in there and tell them about God's love. I'm going to finish now by reading a very short passage from this book by Charles Spurgeon called On Eagle's Wings. And it's just a daily devotional book that I'm actually going through at the minute. It's just got a little Bible passage and talks about it underneath. And a few days ago, I read this fantastic truth in this book. And so I'm going to read that as I finish. And as I read, I just want you to get into a place where you can listen. Get into a place where you can concentrate on what Jesus has done for you. He's talking about what your joy should be and why your joy you should be joyful because of what Jesus has done for us. So if you want to, bow down, close your eyes. You don't have to. Just get into a place where you're concentrating and just take in these words. Listen really carefully to what God has done for us. So let me just read it. The joy of the saints in heaven, or Christians, is comprised in this. Jesus chose us. Jesus loved us. Jesus bought us. Jesus cleansed us. Jesus robed us. Jesus kept us. Jesus glorified us. We are here entirely through the Lord Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your incredible love that you've shown to the whole world through bringing your Son to earth to die on a cross. And thank you for the forgiveness that comes through that. And thank you for the promise of heaven and just how your love just shines through in everything, Lord. And so I just pray that we'll be able to lift your name on high now and just praise you all the more for what we've just heard. Thank you, Lord. Amen.